Hello everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. Now, you might notice these aren't the familiar tones of Stuart Campbell, so I hope I haven't thrown you off too much with this new voice. Let me introduce myself. I'm Holly Majerison. I'm the online editor here at Boat International. And joining me to navigate the latest from the world of super yachting is my partner in crime and fellow office chinwagger, Georgia Buscowan. Coming up on today's podcast, we'll crunch the numbers behind the Cannes Yachting Festival, run through some last-minute September charter gems, peek inside the star yacht of the new below-deck Mediterranean season, and I'll also round up the biggest yacht price drops of August. Plenty to get through, so let's dive in. Good morning. So this week I'm joined by Georgia, also known in the office as the Queen of Cornwall, Queenie. So Georgia, welcome back.
Pleasure to be here, as always. Do love the podcast. Love it.
We love to have you here.
And also I feel like this nickname's now sticking. It's like properly sticking. Stu used to do it as a bit of a joke. Now it's actually all anyone calls me now. I like it. I can take it.
Yeah, I never actually knew where it originated from until it was given a bit more context on the pod the other week.
Just a caveat, I'm not actually royalty.
I think you could be though.
I'm not sure about that, but we do need to get one for you now.
Yeah, I'm not sure. The Yorkshire accent doesn't quite scream royalty, does it?
I disagree. Apparently, probably don't know this, but a little fact for you. King Richard III had a Yorkshire accent.
Well, I'll take it then. I mean,
yeah,
Queen of Yorkshire. I have actually got quite a lot of stick in my 2 years at Boat for the Yorkshire accent. One of which being when we were at the Super Yacht Design Festival, I was with the media crew filming sort of the intro and outro for the festival highlights wrap-up.
Which you did bloody well.
Thank you. I'll take that too. But the big finale was me on the slope signing off with, you know, that's a wrap. See you back here next year on the slopes. And I'd been teasing Stu and Toby that I'd do it in my sort of thickest Yorkshire accent just to really confuse all the Italians and the Europeans. I don't think they'd be too impressed. Luckily, I, you know, put on my best EBC received pronunciation accent. So hopefully that was all.
That's good. Your phone voice then.
Definitely.
Do the difference just so everyone can hear.
I'm not sure anyone will be able to understand it.
I was about to do that myself then. I thought actually maybe I shouldn't be like,
yeah, could be insulting.
Well, I love your accent. I think it's great.
Well, thank you very much. All right. So obviously it's a really busy time of year at the minute. We're into boat show season. So I think let's kick off with some yacht news. Obviously last week, Georgia, you and Stu were talking through some of the big stories of the summer from Ocean Coast Sail, the America's Cup protocol fee, and also the report into Titan. But now it's crunch time. Boat show season is here. Cannes is next week, and then we've got a quick reset before Monaco.
Yikes, I can't believe it. I do always feel that Cannes the starter pistol, don't you think?
Yeah, it feels a bit relentless, actually.
Yeah, it's the show that begins, and then it's just nonstop until the end of Monaco. But it's exciting. Exciting times.
There's
so much going on, and, you know, we've all been there cruising the quays and just seeing everyone that we've all ever worked with in one place. It's quite amazing. But Cannes to start with.
And
you're going to be there?
I will indeed. It's actually going to be my first Cannes and my first Monaco. So I've done
Baptism of fire.
I mean, I have done flibs and dibs, but Monaco is obviously the creme de la creme of the boat shows. So I'm really excited. Have you done Cannes before?
I have, yeah. It's a really fun one, actually. It's in a really beautiful place, obviously, and the atmosphere is very buzzy. It's a little bit more relaxed than Monaco. Monaco is obviously very intense. That's kind of everything all at once, everywhere. And but Cannes, you know, it's actually a much more relaxed, cool, laid back vibe. You can sit a little bit more time for lunches, which I love. But it is also a seriously important show for shipyards and all of us, actually. But especially when there's a new launch to shout about, it's a really good one where people like to debut some really cool new projects out there. So, and I'm sure we're going to be seeing that this year as well. So
that's yeah, absolutely. Obviously, Cannes is generally slightly smaller yachts, but if we can actually kind of get straight into the data now, because it's quite interesting this year. It's the return of the 50 meter plus segment.
Ooh.
So Boat Pro data actually shows that there's going to be 99 yachts of 24 meters and above confirmed. That's up slightly from 92 last year. But the real story this year is size. So the average length has crept up to 32.5 meters compared to 32.3 last year. And then I think gross tonnage is climbing too.
Gross tonnage is climbing too. We're now at an average of 242 GT, which is, it's quite a jump. I say quite a jump. It's a jump from last year, which is 216, but it's noticeable. I know that doesn't sound like huge, like a huge amount, but it is noticeable when you look at the bigger and bulkier yachts that are actually going to be in attendance.
Yeah, and actually there's two yachts that fall into that bracket. The largest this year being Heesen's After You, which is 55 meters and was actually delivered in 2011.
But it's the Italian newcomers doing the headlines. Tanco's 45 meter Singulare and CDM's 45 meter Project T are both debuting, and they lead a very strong lineup of 18 world premieres. God, that's a lot, isn't it?
It is a lot. They're really dominating.
Yeah. What are the other debuts?
So other ones to keep an eye on, the Bonetti Class 44, Columbus Yachts 42 meter Big Narn. I love the name of that. Yeah. I think it's iconic.
Really good.
The Maiora 36 Exuma and San Lorenzo's new SX120. Seriously strong cast list this year.
Isn't it? It's really good. And it's very Italian dominated. So Tankoa, CDM, Bonetti, Columbus, San Lorenzo, Riva, Ferretti, Aba Yachts, Extra Yachts, Picciotti, Silent Yachts, all showing new builds, which is insane.
Quite a mouthful there as well.
It really is. And outside of Italy, you've only got a handful. So Hargreaves 125 from Turkey, Gulfcraft's Majesty 100 Terrace from the UAE, and the Netherlands, Van der Valk's Lalabe and St. Bart's Yachting, St. Bart's 2.
Yeah, just a few. and then if we think about which segment is dominating, it's still motor yachts. So there's 94 in total. And sailing has inched back up. There's 5 this year compared with 3 in 2024. So we're still quite a way off pre-2024 when we saw 12. But at least there's a little recovery.
Yeah, but bigger yachts, more tonnage, strong Italian showing, and the new 50-meter plus market back in the mix. So Cannes looking like a serious launchpad this year. It's exciting.
Really exciting. Mm. And I can't wait to step on board and see the debuts.
I can't wait to see your baptism of fire.
Yeah, see how I survive.
Yeah.
Yeah, could be interesting. Yeah. But I always think it's nice if the designers and the brokers and shipyards themselves are there. You can try and get a tour with one of these industry experts. It definitely just brings it to life, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's better. It's better. You're going to have a great time. Really well.
So on the theme of Cannes, I think, you know, you're our travel and charter guru. So I was thinking it'd be fun to do some quick fire Cannes questions for anyone heading next week.
Okay. Scary, but okay. Yeah, I'll take it.
So are you ready?
Sort of.
We'll take that. Okay, so can claim to fame in one sentence?
Well, do I say film festival? It is film festival because, you know, yeah, film festival. One word, two words, actually.
Yeah, that's what I'd associate can with. Okay, how does it compare with Monaco or Saint-Tropez as a yachting destination?
This is going to trip me up. How could I possibly answer that? I'm really sorry, everyone, but it's going to get me into trouble. I think Cannes is more laid back than Monaco. It's just cooler. There's, you know, you have some time to breathe. It's slightly less flashy than Saint-Tropez. It's glam, but in a pared back and slightly unstated way. I really love it. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's got, well, I'm also probably going to get into trouble now, but it's got a nicer feel.
Mm.
And then top hotel pick if you're staying in Cannes?
Okay, so for me, if I was staying in Cannes and not paying the bill, I'd probably choose, maybe Carlton Cannes is amazing. It's really, really beautiful. I think they recently had a renovation as well. And also Five Seas is really lovely. The JW Marriott's really good. There's a lot, actually. It's a lot of really good places. We'll probably be staying in a Holiday Inn equivalent, but, you know.
Probably so.
So I'm sure we'll have a lovely time. Lots of restaurants there as well. Lots of good things to do.
Yeah, which takes me on to my next question.
Thought it might.
Restaurant must book during the festival.
That's so mean because I haven't actually had a chance to research this and I feel like I'm not going to do it justice. Or I don't know.
Or even maybe if you know a type of cuisine that's there.
French.
Well, that would be a no-brainer. But
go to Cannes and have some French food. I don't know. Le Môme, maybe. I don't know. Good atmosphere, great food. You're definitely going to bump into a lot of people in the industry, as you will in every restaurant.
Yeah, there's no escape, really.
No escape. You're locked in. But don't take that as my final answer.
Okay, we'll let you come back to that next
week.
Thank you. And if somebody needs a breather from the show, where would you send them?
I don't know. Do you know what? There are so many beautiful places around there. And you could convince someone to take you, just whisk you off on a little tender somewhere. Maybe to Île Sainte-Marguerite, which is the island just off Cam. It's a beautiful pine forest and turquoise water. It feels like a world away from the show. And it's probably one of those things that if you did do that, you would end up coming back to the show. So I don't know if I can actually recommend that. But it's such a beautiful spot down there. If you just wander along the coast, you're bound to find something really beautiful. And I'm sure a lot of people will be doing that post-show. So it's a great place to be.
Okay, so if you were to choose, you know, beach club or mountain hike, what would your Cannes escape plan be?
What do you think I'm going to answer to this?
I'd be interested to hear. I actually, if I didn't know you, I would have guessed beach club.
Yeah.
But I know you quite well. And I'm thinking, no, you need a bit of
I need air.
You need air. You need to be stimulated in some way. Yeah. So I think mountain hike, actually.
Get me to a mountain immediately. Yes. That's what I'd do. And it does say that beach club with a spritz was recommended answer. Thanks. And I would say mountain hike with a spritz.
Yes.
Takes all the boxes.
Maybe. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Little thermos.
A few refreshments en route.
Perfect.
So I also think it'd be quite nice, boat show aside, Cannes is also just a busy season in the industry anyway. And I know that you've just written a piece for Boat Online for September charter opportunities. So peak summer might be wrapping up, but September is obviously still an incredible month to get on the water. And you have picked out your top 5 yachts with charter availability. Shall we run through some of those?
Let's do it. I think that September is a really underrated time to charter, and you've got calmer anchorages, you've got amazing service ashore. The weather isn't obviously as guaranteed, but it's still a really important month to charter, and there are a hell of a lot of yachts that still have availability. So I'm very grateful to all the brokers that did send through their availability. And here we just have a top pick, but there are so many that I actually couldn't get them all into the article. But we'll start with the largest, I think. So we've got some time left on Whisper, the 95 meter Lursen, but obviously all of us, I'm sure, will know that silhouette extremely well. And obviously 95 meter that's still available in September is a great opportunity. And that is available with Wyco with a weekly rate of 1.2 million. And this September, she will be available in Corsica and the South of France.
Lovely. And she is kind of full, proper high glamour, isn't she? She's got that double height main saloon, the cinema, the spa with the sea level terraces that fold out.
Yeah.
12 guests, 27 crew.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a really great opportunity to charter her last minute. But we've got some really cool other additions as well.
Next up is actually another Lursen, I believe.
Yeah.
Lady Lara. She's 91 meters and I believe nearly 3,000 gross tons. Serious scale.
Yeah, massive. And that, again, she is for charter with Wyco as well. And it's actually rare that comes up with availability. So Lady Lara is actually available from France or Monaco for September. So that is a really great opportunity. And we just continue on to there's a lot of goodness out there still available. We've got Luna, which is the Ocean Co 90 meter with that crazy beautiful exterior by Louis de Basto, again, that I'm sure many of us have seen in Monaco and elsewhere. That is available to charter with Large Yacht Corp with a weekly rate of 1.2 million euros. And she's available for charters until the 21st of September. Based in Monaco and operates throughout south of France, Sardinia, Corsica, and the Italian coast. Great opportunity there. Really beautiful boat.
Yeah, and she's quite wellness focused, isn't she? She's got a lot. She's got the hammam, the sauna, the massage and beauty salon.
Yeah, really, really good option. And then we've got the icon. Can't say that. But we have, sorry.
No favourites here.
No favourites here slash it's a favourite. Alfa Nero is for available in September as well. And I must just say, sorry, I know that you want to do this because you love her too, but I stepped on board in Antigua last December and I must say that refit is phenomenal. It's so cool to see her out and about again and back in the Med, and it's just such an exciting opportunity. Again, some of the stats, I'm sure we all know her, but Ocean Co 82 meter delivered in 2007, and then she had her 2024 refit, which I can completely hand on heart vouch is phenomenal. They did such an incredible job, and that is available for charter with Northrop & Johnson with a weekly rate of 650,000 euros. And she's available from Athens from the 2nd. So from yesterday, she was available for the rest of September. So that is an amazing, oh, that's what I would do.
Mm. I'm always impressed. She's got that aft deck pool that rises up to become a dance floor, which everyone's kind of copied that since.
So beautiful. So cool. And the Pinto interior. Oh, yeah. It's so beautiful.
And it's a yacht that I would love to step
on. Yeah, it's amazing. And it just looks so beautiful post-refit. I can't tell you. I just wasn't expecting it. And so many people messaged after I put some things on Instagram saying what was it actually like to step on board. Is the finish really beautiful? And I promise you that I was looking so hard and they've done the most phenomenal job. I've spoken about it so much on this podcast already, but there is not a, just, you would never know. It was just amazing. Former glory completely restored.
Look, you've sold the dream to me. So yeah. I'm sure it's worked for everyone else. And then finally,
Axioma.
Yep.
Another, God, there's some good yachts. 72 meter Dunyar yachts. A very recent refit as well. And that is the striking turquoise blue hull, again, that many of us know. And another Pinto interior, which again is such a beautiful choice for September in the Med. She is available with Northrop as well, with a weekly rate from 450,000 euros a week, and is available now in Imperia. So another really beautiful opportunity to cruise the French Riviera and Italy. Mm. So really great selection there. It's just so, there's just so much. I think I might need to add to this article. We will put this article against the podcast, but I might need to add because there are just hundreds of yachts that are still available and they are still coming in thick and fast with things that could be a really great opportunity to charter. So do keep an eye on that feature.
Absolutely.
It'll be updated and updated and updated because there's just so much going on.
Yeah, it's a very exciting time of year and great if you can get this last minute charter availability.
Always good. And there's some discounts too. Lots of people offering very impressive discounts. So
that was charter. I think it'd be good to have a quick market update as well. We had some big price drops in August, which I will just run us through. So it was a busy month for sales with 40.7 million euros wiped off asking prices across 67 yachts. So here are the five biggest reductions making headlines. We had Florencia, a 52-meter Rossinavi with romantic lines, contemporary interior. This was cut by another 3 million euros. So she's now asking 41 million with Ocean Independence. Then we had Belongers, which is a 49.9 meter from Kush. From?
Quash.
Quash. Butchered the name of that. Saw a 2 million euro price drop, bringing her to 12.9 million euros VAT paid. She offers space for 14 guests and features a hammam, hot tub and office. Then we have Royal X. This is a 50 meter Mangusta 165 series yacht, also down 2 million euros. And she's fresh from a refit and she's listed for 10.8 million with Burgess. Then we have Pearl Bleu, a 37.8-metre hackvort, cut by 1.2 mil to 6.75 mil. Highlights include a teppanyaki grill, jacuzzi, and a 10-person wet bar. And then finally, price drops for August. We had Salida, which is a 47-metre sailing yacht by Menguier. This was reduced by just over 1 million euros, and she's now asking 9.95 million euros with Next Yachting. So in total, five yachts alone account for nearly 10 million euros of price cuts last month, showing just how competitive the brokerage market is right now.
But that was August, and now we've got something really mega that happened in September.
Just this week.
Yes, a major 20 million euro price drop has been announced on the 89-meter Amold superyacht Here Comes the Sun, which is currently listed to sail with Ian Sherwood and Stephanie Bossy of Burgess and Ben Ritchie of Wyco. The custom superyacht was delivered in 2017, and she was the flagship of the Amold's fleet, and still is, a title that she's held for the past 6 years, although it's soon to be taken by 120-metre project Tanzanite, and this is due for delivery later this year. She was commissioned by a repeat client with a penchant for the Beatles, who was looking to upgrade from his limited editions 212 model Fenton Maris, which is formerly Imagine. Her brokers also announced that Here Comes the Sun will be on display at the Monaco Yacht Show this month. So that will be a very exciting one to see. And that is an unbelievable price drop that we haven't seen something like that in quite a while. So yeah. That's some serious news.
The brokerage market is definitely interesting. I always think just before, during, after boat show season, that's when it's all kind of ramping up. There's more yachts being brought to the market, and then we see hopefully some sales, then we see some price drops. So it's definitely exciting. And now, Georgia, before we wrap up, we also have to touch on something that blends the worlds of reality TV and super yachts. So we've got season 10 of Below Deck Mediterranean. It's about to hit screens later this month. Captain Sandy's back, Aisha Scott is back, but the real star is, of course, the yacht.
Of course. The yacht is Bravado, a 44.9-metre Aberking in Rasmussen with exterior design by Raymond Langton. She's going to be hosting 2 months of drama, boatmancers, demanding charter guests, and even, rumour has it, a surprise pregnancy announcement.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Definitely one to tune in for then.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not a new yacht. She was actually delivered in 2004. And it's German engineering through and through, steel hull, with the same owner since 2015. And it's got a cool contemporary palette inside. So creams, greys, and little pots of colours like plum sky lounge tables.
Yeah,
very usual. I'm not going to say that. Just seen it. But it's all very exciting, especially, you know, when these Below Deck yachts come out, everyone kind of likes to really get into the reality of it as well as what we see on the screen. So, and it's, I think this is probably why they've chosen it. It's got it's a very good platform for socializing. Great sun deck with a jacuzzi barbecue, big shaded dining area, and also indoor outdoor cinema screens, formal dining room, and all the toys. But it's a very good Below Deck selection. So that'll be an interesting one to see.
Absolutely. And how many can she sleep?
12 guests across 6 cabins, master on the bridge deck, and that has its own gym, which is quite cool, quite unusual, with a rowing machine, Pilates bed, all that kind of stuff. And there's also a full beam VIP on the main deck, 2 doubles, also 2 twins below, and of course, 11 crew, soon to be immortalized on TV.
How does she stack up against the other Below Deck Med stars?
Interestingly, she's on the smaller side. So we've had the Wellesley, which was 56 metre and starred in season 5. That was all art deco luxury, named after obviously the Knightsbridge Hotel brand. But Bravado is a little bit more understated. So a good choice for the TV drama, lots of place for those infamous arguments and reconciliations. So it'd be good. It'd be a great one to watch. And also, I know that we all love to hate it, but everyone watches it. You all know you do. And so it's always a good one to see.
Yeah. So we can expect drama, deckhands, and probably some chaos in the galley.
Absolutely.
Well, that's been super interesting. And that's a wrap for this week's boat briefing. We've got bigger yachts, bigger numbers, boat show season ahead, lots to keep us on our toes.
Yeah, and still lots of charter staff coming through and lots of exciting opportunities in the Med. So it's really exciting.
Absolutely. And we'll have some big news stories to come, I'm sure, in the coming week. So we'll see you next week as boat show season kicks into high gear, where we'll next be discussing Monaco, the Monaco madness. So yeah, Georgia, thank you so much for joining.
And that's all.
Listeners, thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time. And that's a wrap. Thank you for listening to this week's Boat Briefing, which was a production of Boat International Media. I'm Holly Majerison, and I was joined by Georgia Biscoan. Don't forget to like and subscribe for interviews with industry experts, deep dives into the data, and regular updates from the world of superyachting. As the online editor, it seems only appropriate for me to plug many of the wonderful stories you heard about today on our website, where you can read more about the yachts attending both Cannes and Monaco, the biggest price drops of the month, and the charter stars with last-minute availability, plus plenty more meaty features. I'll drop some links in the caption below, but until next time, thanks for tuning in.